that the hand of God is in the affairs of men. If you read the book of Daniel, many of you have read it, the prophecy that God gave Daniel was the whole of Gentile reign. Who would reign in power? Which one would come after the other? From the time they were in Babylon, who would be next? And the one after that was a perfect picture of the metallic man that was given. A head of gold, breast and arms of silver, belly and thigh of brass, legs of iron, feet part of iron, part of clay. And we're in that time, that part of iron and part of clay. Each of those men, and I wasn't planning on preaching on this morning, I'm just talking about it. Each of those empires was represented by a medal, gold. It was a one ruler empire, a dictatorship. They had kings and emperors, and it was one man ruling. And but then when you get down in the feet, they're part iron, part clay, which just means it's part of a leadership, and clay is a representation of the people, like a democracy. And that's where we're at. And there's never been a government like the governments that you're seeing today. Because they are governments of people, people voting in leaders and so forth. And the revised Roman Empire, we know that's what it is. It's part of iron. That was the iron. The iron was the empire, the metal of Rome. That was, they were just an iron fist is why they ruled. And anyways, God knows what's going on. God knows what's going on next. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 45, I'll read, and very familiar verse of Scripture. He says in verse number 22, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else." That one verse right there says everything that you and I need to know to be saved. Everything that you and I would need to do to look to God. He's saying, look unto me, just me, and be ye saved. Every time I see that, I think about John 3. I think about the reference of Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. The Israelites were bitten because of their sin by these serpents in the wilderness. And God told Moses to put a serpent upon a staff, a brazen serpent. And what they were to do is Moses would raise up that staff with that brazen serpent upon it. They had to look upon their sin. That's what that serpent was a type of. Their sin.
Their rebellion caused them to be stung by these asps, and they were, many of them, dying out there in the wilderness. All God said was, look and live. Look and live. You see, it takes salvation out of the hands of man, and it puts it completely in God, in who God is and what God has to offer man. You see, you and I, we are born sinners. We're helpless. We are unrighteous and ungodly. God Almighty, just like the children of Israel that he speaks about here in Isaiah chapter 44 and chapter 45, has called you and I to look to him. Look unto me and be saved. All the ends of the earth. Everybody. Not just the children of Israel. God gives a great introduction to all of this in chapter 44 and 45 of who he is and who Israel is and what God is prepared to do for his children, Israel. I'll tell you what, I know that their promises are not our promises. Their commandments are not necessarily our commandments. God's moral commandments are. You better believe that. God's moral commandments, they never change. And the things that God asks of them morally, he asks of all men. Because all have sinned. Amen. And sin for one is sin for all. God tells the children of Israel that, all these things, and I'll read some, that what God is prepared to do for them. I just think of the types. I think of other promises throughout Scripture that's given, and all is given for you and I for inspiration of God. It's profitable for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But there are certain promises that God has given to every man. Certain promises God's given to the church. And when I think of what God has been said to them, to the children of Israel, what he's willing to do for them, it reminds me of what Christ is willing to do for you and I. What he has done for us. Think about what he has done for us. Not just to say, I'll pay for your sins, but to pay for them. Amen? To make himself a sacrifice. Back in chapter 44, God starts off talking to the children of Israel, and he starts out by letting them know that there is no other God besides him. He wanted them to understand that in their mind, that there are no other gods besides him. I mean, he's the creator. You'd think if there's any other gods up there, he'd know about them. But man has found himself. Listen, God told Israel in verse 1 of chapter 44, he's talking specifically to them, specifically to Jacob, and said, I have chosen whom I have chosen. God had chosen Jacob, chosen him, called him Israel. And I'll get to that in just a moment. And he said, thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee. And that word formed is like a potter forms clay. He is molding him. Do you remember when God wrestled Jacob through the night? God was molding him. God had continued to mold him and to make him from Jacob to Israel. Amen. From the trickster to the man that would be the head of the nation of the people of God. What about that? That God could save somebody that was one thing and make them into something totally different. That's what God has always done. God takes a no man, a no name, and a nobody and makes him somebody with a purpose of God on his life. God can do that for you today. Listen, now, I mean, who am I? Who am I? The world doesn't know me. I'm not some well-known billionaire. I'm not some powerful man over a country or a nation, but I have become something greater than that. You have that are saved. We are a child of the King, heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. There is no higher calling than to be an heir of Christ. He told him, he said, I formed thee, and God forms us. God works on us in our life, forming us into the man that we will be. Amen? And he said, I formed thee from the womb. Now let me say something right there. Let me just throw this in. If God's forming in the womb, from the womb, that means from the beginning of its time in the womb. That's what that means, from the womb. When the Bible speaks of from the foundation of the world, that's from the time right before it began. And from the womb, which means God, listen, the hands of God is in each little child's face. Are you listening to me? Don't ever think. I mean, think about a God that could, I mean, I'm not an artist, but to think about a God that already in his mind can see so many different faces, so many different eyes, so many different noses, mouths, hair. Are you listening to me? And God knows when he makes one a man, and God knows when he makes one a woman. God knows when he wants one to be a little boy. God knows when he wants it to be a little girl. God forms them in the womb. Don't ever forget that. Amen. And he said, I am the God that formed you in the womb, and I will help thee. That's a lot of help, I'll tell you right there. I mean, to know that God said, I've been with you from the time I created you. I'll help you. I will help you. He's telling Israel this, telling Jacob this. I will help you. And Jacob's been in some helpless situations, but God said, I'll help you. I will help you. You need help today. You need something that nobody else has been able to help you with. God said, I will help you. I will help you. I'll be your help. Amen. That's a great promise, isn't it? I'll be your help. He said, I've chosen you. I'll pour water upon him that's thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. God's saying, them that's come to the end of their road, them that's dry, amen. Them that are thirsty, I'll pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. God's not only saying, I'll water your family, amen. I'll bless you, but I'll bless your family. I'll bless you, I'll bless your children. I'll bless your grandchildren. They are the blessed people of God. That's who they are. Listen, a good thing about being saved is now God is your help. And he's promised to bless your family. Amen. You continue to pass your heritage of God on down from one generation to the next generation. God said, I'll bless them. I'll put my blessing upon thy offspring. Amen? He said, they'll spring up as among the trees, as willows by the water courses. I love that. They'll be like willows beside the water courses. That's as good as Psalm 1. Amen. I should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Amen. My children, they'll be like willows in the water courses. Amen. Thank God. That's the blessing of God. You're talking about a dry place and a dry land. You're talking about a desert area. And God said, I'll put them where the water courses are. Can you imagine Jacob being out there in Samaria in the middle of dry country? And he start digging. How'd he know where to dig? How did he know where to dig? Out of all that land, how'd Jacob know where to dig? But he dug, and you know what he found? A well. A cavern with water running through it. God, only God. Are you listening to me? They could have been many men died of thirst, no doubt, right there in that same place. But he put his hand to the shovel. And God said, dig right here. And he gave him Jacob's well. It's still there to this day. It's an everlasting spring. Amen. It does not run out. Our little old wells, they may run out sometimes. Amen. I've heard of people's wells, even in these mountains, give out, go plumb dry. And it's a sad, but you ain't never, ever heard or seen of Jacob's well running dry. These sweet water that runs through it all the time. God said, I'll put them by the water courses. One shall say, I am the Lord's. Another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. This is how excited his family was going to be about God. One's going to call himself by the name of the Lord. Another's going to call himself by the name of Jacob. And then the Bible said, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord. In other words, he'll engrave a surname to himself. A surname. And did you know that all of them Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are always referenced now with God? He is the God of Abraham. It's like saying Abraham that knows God. Isaac that knows God. Jacob that knows God. They've got that surname, amen. Many others, they'll put L at the end of their name or at the beginning of their name. He's saying your children, they will gladly, are you listening to me? One will say, I am the Lord's. Isn't it good to know your family would be able to stand up and testify with great joy and pride? I am the Lord's. I belong to Him. I'm happy to be His today. They begin to call their kids by Bible names. Amen. That's right. People that's excited about the Lord. They begin to give their kids names that they find in God's Word. Why? Because of the inheritance that they've received. God tells him in verse number 6, he said, I am the first and the last. Besides me, there is no God. You see, God's telling him, there's no other God besides me, Jacob. Israel, there's no other God besides me. He said, and who as I shall call and shall declare it? Anybody else could call and declare it and set it in order for me since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come. Let them show unto them. Do they know what's coming, these other gods? Can they tell them what's fixing to happen? No, Joseph was down in Egypt, and Pharaoh didn't know about the 7 years of famine that was on the way. But God did. God knew. And he told Joseph. Amen. God's saying, can they tell you the things to come? God has given us in his book, told us about the things to come already. What other God can tell you that? Is there any other God that's been able to make known what was going to happen, what will happen, how it will end? God is saying, there is no God besides me. He said it's foolish for them to keep worshiping idols. He's talking about men or even Israel that make them. He said in verse 9, they that make a graven image, and all of them are vanity. And they're delectable things. Those are things that are dearly, greatly beloved by them. Do you know there's places around the world they have statues and pictures, and if you were to scratch one of them, they'd throw you under the prison. They'd kill you. Why? That's their God. They adore them. They're greatly beloved. They're their idols and their gods. Has one of them ever said, come unto me, be ye saved? Has one of them ever formed anybody? He said, I like this. He told Israel in verse 8 toward the end, he said, ye are even my witnesses. Now down in verse 9, about the middle, he said, they are their own witnesses, talking about these gods they carry. It's their own witness. See, I've got my God. What is it? Well, it's, there's no life in it. It's not breathing. It's its own witness. It doesn't talk to me. It can't answer me. It can't even look at me. Unless I'm looking at it. Can I turn it around and say, look at me? It can't do it unless I turn it around. Why? There's no life in it. Eyes that see not, ears that hear not, hands that handle not. They're their own witness. The gods that they make, that's all they are, images to worship. They've never done anything for them. He said in verse 12, the smith with the tongs both worketh in the coals and fashioneth it. You see, God told Israel and Jacob over in verse 2, he said, I formed thee from the womb. I molded you. Now over here, he's saying these people, they fashioneth it with the hammers and worketh it with the strength of his arms. That's the difference between an idol and God. God formed man. Man forms idols. Those little gods are formed by the hands of man. They would not exist apart from the hands of men. Amen. He is hungry and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water and is faint. A man that's working that iron, making a God. Why is his God not giving him strength? Why is his God not filling him with water? Amen. He goes on down. He keeps going on. He said in verse 15, he maketh a God and worshipeth it and maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto. He goes prostrate before it. Think about that he creates this thing. And then he falls down to it. They have not known or understood it. For he has shut his eyes. They cannot see in their hearts, that they cannot understand. Somebody that does that, They have made themselves completely ignorant of what that is. To make that and to worship it. My. Think about all that man does that's false. All that man does that's fake. All that man does that fails, that cannot help, cannot help you. Absolutely not. What you're leaning on cannot help you. Many are leaning today. Listen, we think of gods and idols. We think of these, you know, little images. I mean, it could be music that you turn to, drugs that you turn to. It could be a lot of things that you look to and turn to. It cannot help. It will not help. You may think it's going to help you in your flesh to feel a little better. I promise you, it will leave you empty. It'll leave you empty. Lord have mercy. They've given themselves a dullness and a blindness. He said in verse 20, when he was holding the idol, he said at the end of it, is there not a lie in my right hand? You see, they give that idol a name, and it's a lie. They give that idol a name that's a lie. Because it can't do anything. He said, is there not a lie in my right hand? For thou, my servant, I have formed thee. Thou art my servant. God told Israel in verse 22, I blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. And as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Well, that's a good verse to remember. I've blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. You're not going to find your sins washed away anywhere else. I've redeemed thee. I'm the one that gave myself for thee. And then he tells him, I love this, verse 23, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth in singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, amen, and glorified himself in Israel. God has done it. That's what he's saying. Stand to your feet. Shout and rejoice. The Lord has redeemed you. That's going to happen one day. I'm going to tell you something. When the children of God, when our bodies, the redemption of our bodies comes forth, the creation itself, going to shout when the curse is broke. The whole creation groaneth in travail, the Bible says. Until now. Why? Or until what? Waiting. The creation's waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our body. Not the redemption of our soul. That's happened. And is rejoicing in heaven. Amen. And when the redemption of our body takes forth, they'll be rejoicing in the earth. The whole creation, it won't groan anymore. It won't travail anymore. Amen. Think about that. That's why the wolf will be able to lay down with the lamb. And the child shall play over the hole of the asp. That's why nothing shall harm nor hurt in all of God's holy mountain. Why? Because we're redeemed, fully redeemed. Israel redeemed. The children of God, their bodies redeemed. Amen. Oh, God said in verse 24, the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, He that formed thee from the womb. See, He keeps reminding them over and over. I'm the one that formed you. I made you. I gave you life. Get that in your mind. Get it in your heart. I'm the one that gave you the life that you have. That's what God is saying. I'm the one that formed thee. Somebody maybe said, why'd God even let me be born? To save you. Amen. To let you have life and then to give you life everlasting through His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. If your life's so miserable, give it to Christ. Amen. If your life's so miserable, you wish you'd never been born, get born again. Amen. Get born into a new life. Hey, let God make a new creature out of you. He can do it. He can do it. He can do it. Oh, yes. He told the children of Israel over and over again, I created you. I'm the Lord. There's none else. Chapter 45, verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. I know some of you may be looking at where God said and create evil. He's talking about like the judgments that came upon Pharaoh. To them, that was a great evil come upon them. God let all that happen. Verse 9, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. He goes on and says in that verse, shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou, or thy work, he hath no hands? He said in verse 11, thus saith the Lord, the maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. God not only stretches out the sky here where the clouds are, but the heavens above where the stars and the planets are, God stretches that out like a curtain. That's a big God. And He said, I am God and there is none else. He's the God of everything you see. He's the God of all creation. He's the one that formed you from before the womb, gave you life. He told Israel, He talked about their captivities and how that He would redeem them. He said the earth that He created and the heavens in verse 18. At the end of it, He said, He hath established it. He hath created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. Now, if God formed and created the heavens and the earth to be inhabited, God formed you, do you think God's got a purpose for you? Sure he does. And then he tells them in verse 20, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. I think this is talking about the remnant here of the children of Israel that escaped from the nations. They have no knowledge that set up wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. These people that were holding them pray to a God that cannot save. If it's not the Lord, it's a God that can't save. You're either calling upon the Lord or you're calling upon a God that can't save. And God says, look unto me. Look unto me, the one that formed thee. Look unto me, the one that hath chosen thee. Look unto me, the one that gave you life in the womb. Look unto me, the one that can answer thee. Look unto me and be ye saved. The one that had delivered you many times, had saved you in your earthly problem many times. Look unto me and be ye saved. You think he can save? Sure he can save. All the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself. God don't need no help. The Lord Jesus doesn't need anybody else's help in saving. Jesus paid it all. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. It's going to happen. Everybody's going to know he is God and there is none other. He's Savior and there is none other. I want you to stand this morning.